Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It's hour two. It's Tuesday, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me. Danny Amendola stops by today. Peter King later. Trent Dilfer, too. Eric Dickerson. All sorts of stuff. Just had Andy Reid on. It's great to have Andy Reid on. Where's that Hawaiian Kansas City Chiefs? It was such a great year last year when he won. It almost felt like, I think everybody in football was kind of rooting for him because everybody knew he was a great coach and he just didn't quite have the right quarterback, the signal caller, the trigger guy. And then
it was a feel-good win.
Yes.
Like, no one was really, I don't like to speak in absolutes, obviously, but I didn't feel like anyone was really rooting against the 49ers. But if you didn't have anyone in the Super Bowl, you kind of want Andy Reid to win.
Well, yeah, because it felt like last year the 49ers, Kyle Shanahan was young and Garoppolo was young. A lot of their defensive front is young. Like, they're going to be back. And it was like, you didn't feel that bad they lost. It's like, yeah, they'll be fine. Kyle Shanahan's going to get to a few of these, but Andy Reid's in his 60s. And it's like, okay, you didn't want Andy to go to another Super Bowl and lose again because those of us who appreciate, he's made football better for our eyes.
Right, and the story always has to be told with what you did in the championship games. So you don't want that held against somebody with the greatness that Andy Reid is.
It's funny, like, there have been a lot of coaches that won Super Bowls that aren't in Andy Reid's class. And we do this all the time. We spend so much time, you never won the big game. People just don't understand how many big games Andy Reid was in and won before the Super Bowl last year. This, folks, this is not the NBA or baseball where you get 162 or 82 games. Like, every Sunday, you go into a three-game winning streak. I've had players tell me this. You have a three-game losing streak as a coach, you start losing players, even good teams. You can lose a game, and you can lose back-to-back, but you got to win that third game. Now, Pete Carroll may drive some guys nuts. Seahawks don't lose three straight games much.
Well, that's what's so great about the NFL is that every game matters so much.
It's so big. So what I do before these big games, I take a yellow pad and I write down who I think in order are the 10 best players. And I usually get a 7-3 or an 8-2 split, and I feel they're going to win this game. And I was surprised, I've said this, that Kansas City was only a 3-point favorite. When the game started, I tried to guess the line, and my guess was it would be closer to 5. Be more of a 5-point spread. 4.5, 5, 5.5. It's 3 to 3.5. And so this morning I thought, all right, let's just write down the 10 best players, what I believe in order in this Super Bowl. And here we go.
Number one.
All right, Patrick Mahomes. Let's not argue about it. Last 26 games, he's won 25, 60 touchdowns, 12 picks in that space. He is the has the best winning percentage, 83% of any quarterback in the Super Bowl era. So he would be the best player in this game. Okay, best player is Patrick Mahomes. The second best player would be Tom Brady. Let's just stop the nonsense. You didn't think he was going to be here. Okay? And since week 14, he's absolutely on fire. 7-0 and a passer rating of 111. So as Tom has learned the system, most of us predicted, you did, I did, they would be better offensively late than early. That was clearly the case, except for that Saints loss at home. So Brady's the second best player. He's also, the two quarterbacks also take the most snaps, have the ball, and will direct the most traffic. So they're very influential.
Number three
would be Travis Kelce. I think he's the best tight end potentially in 5 or 6 more years we've ever seen. Most receiving yards in a season by a tight end in NFL history, including the playoffs. In the playoffs this year, when he's been targeted, Patrick Mahomes' passer rating is 144. I think he's the toughest matchup in the NFL. There's guys that are faster. There's guys that are bigger. But I don't think there's a linebacker that can cover him. And I don't think there's a safety that can bring him down or a corner. So I'd say Travis Kelce is the unstoppable weapon as number three.
Number four.
I'd go Tyreek Hill, fastest player in the league. You have to bracket him. Last time Tampa faced him, it was absurd. He had 270 yards and 3 touchdowns. It was the best day by any player playing wide receiver in the NFL. He has that look sometimes. If you ever go to a high school game and there's like one kid that's going to be a college player and it doesn't look fair, he's just faster than everybody. Tyreek Hill in the NFL is just faster than everybody. And if he gets rolling on the outside, he makes corners look slow. I'd say Tyreek Hill 4.
Number 5.
Mike Evans. Brady fell in love with him fast, and Mike Evans is fantastic. Only player in NFL history, Mike Evans, wide receiver for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, to have 1,000-plus receiving yards in each of his first 7 seasons. He came out of Texas A&M. He's big. He can run. He's strong. And the frustrating part to defending Mike Evans, you can have him covered, but he's an NBA player. You're 6'7", he's long, he can jump. So, I mean, even watching practice footage, he looks like an NBA guy out there. He's just a problem. You can defend him well. Those are the guys that are legends. You got him defended well. You got Walter Payton, the late, great Walter Payton, got him cornered, and he picks up yards. You can defend Mike Evans well, and he still makes plays.
Number 6.
The most instinctive player in this game, Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu. I put him in here, and I may have him higher than others. Pro Bowler last 2 years. The only player that I can think of in my lifetime that is as instinctive, literally is always around the ball, is Ed Reed for the Ravens. Those players in my lifetime have an ability to sniff the play. If you watch footage of Kansas City's defense, he is just staring at the eyes of the quarterback. He'll move from the left side of the field to the right side of the field. One of 4 players with 20-plus picks in the last 5 years. I think he is so incredibly valuable, and most of the stuff he does, he's not the fastest. He came out of LSU. He wasn't a number one corner. He's not really a safety. He's not big enough to be a linebacker. He is just great football player. That's what he is. He is a great football player.
Number 7.
Chris Jones, a total disruptor for the Chiefs on the defensive front. Second most sacks by any defensive tackle in the last 3 years except Aaron Donald. Again, he's just very hard to singularly block. He's aggressive. He's a personality. He's a trash talker. And you saw it in Buffalo. They just struggled to block him. And so he is a defensive tackle. There's only 2 or 3 in the league. There's Fletcher Cox. There's Aaron Donald. There's Chris Jones. You look at tape. You have got to figure out extra people to block him on the interior, or he will sack your quarterback. Most interior linemen don't get to the quarterback. He's the highest graded defensive player the Chiefs have, according to Pro Football Focus.
Number 8.
Lavonte David, linebacker. Again, very instinctive. Highest graded linebacker for either team. He's essentially a tackle machine. 20-plus sacks, 1,000 tackles, and 100 tackles for loss since entering the league. He's the only player with those numbers. So he'll be around the ball. He'll get somebody behind the line of scrimmage. He'll end up with 11 tackles. His number will be called as much as anybody's number playing defense Sunday.
Number 9.
Vita Vea, defensive tackle who missed a big part of the year. In the 6 games he played for Tampa, they allowed 60 yards rushing. He is, just look at it, he's impossible to move. He's a little short. He came out of Washington. He didn't have the perfect size and dimensions and length. He has been great since he entered the league. He is a problem, and there is no question that Green Bay, we thought they were going to come out and kind of have their way running the ball against Tampa, and no, Vita Vea was back. Played limited snaps. This game, he should be all in.
Number 10.
Shaq Barrett, Tampa, another great player. Led the NFL in sacks last 2 years with 31. 3 sacks against the Packers. He's what everybody is trying to get in the draft. Hey, can you get the quarterback? Doesn't have to be a perfect player. Can you get the quarterback? Yeah, I can. 30 sacks last 2 years, 31. So it's 5-5 in my 10. 5 Chiefs. Now, the Chiefs have a majority of the top 7 players. What's interesting, if I went 11 through 15, I would have 4 Bucks and 1 Chief. 11 through 15, I would go Antonio Brown, Bucks, JPP, Bucks, right tackle Tristan Wirfs, Bucks, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Chiefs, Ali Marpet, the offensive lineman for the Bucks. So as you look at it now, the Chiefs have more great players. The Bucks, to me, have a greater depth of talent. And that, plus being in Tampa, is why this is a field goal game. Because I think Tampa has more high-end players, but in terms of great players, the Chiefs have more. That's my takeaway. I still like Kansas City, but I get the close thing. And then when you take out Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz, that's where that keeps Andy Reid up. That's like, okay, this was going to be kind of scrappy regardless, but the safeties are back for Tampa. The tackles are out for Kansas City, and that explains your field goal game. Because many of you, you know, the wise guys like Kansas City, but the majority of the bets, more bets are on Tampa, and that's why. Peter King's around the corner. Eric Dickerson, too, on a Tuesday.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
New tracks, new teams, and a new champ. The 2021 NASCAR season starts in just 2 weeks with the Great American Race, the Daytona 500, February 14th, only on Fox.
Said it before and I'll say it again. One football game left. I was listening. I think I may have said this last time Peter King was on. I was listening to some epidemiologist before in the middle of the summer say they're not going to be able to play football. It's just there are people tackling each other. It's not going to work. You can play hockey. You can do golf. You can. And here we are, one football game left, and it's very fitting. It's the best team Kansas City favored over a guy that just won't go away, Tom Brady. And Peter King's not going away either. NBCSports.com joining us now live on a Tuesday. It is crazy. I said a couple minutes ago, I said Kansas City feels like, okay, they were going to get here. If I'd have said to you before the season, so Brady goes to a team, a new team. Pandemic, no preseason. His coach calls him out several times. They melt down on national TV. He screams at teammates. They have 13 penalties. They get beat at home by the Saints 38-3. And then the biggest game of the year, Brady throws three straight picks. You just said to yourself, oh, nice season. But that ended like 3 weeks ago. And I look at Tampa and I'm like, they have overcome for 5 months. I didn't think they'd be here. I still can't quite get my arms around it. Or how surprised are you they're here?
Well, on Labor Day weekend in my column, I picked the Bucks to win the Super Bowl. So, I mean, have I been surprised? Have I been surprised at the bumps in the road and they're still here? Somewhat. But, Colin, you will see this. When the ultimate biography is done on the career of Thomas Edward Brady, the one thing you will see is that there are many, many times when in September and October, Brady looks like crap and the Patriots / Bucks look like crap.
Yeah.
Many times. And then it's exactly what I wrote about after he came back to beat Atlanta from 28-3. And I said in overtime and late in the fourth quarter, his two go-to receivers were Chris Hogan and Malcolm Mitchell. And I said to Brady a week after the game, I said, "What? Why? What are you doing?" And he goes, "Hey, we practice. We get to know each other." And he said, "With Chris Hogan, it is 122 practices. You know, that's what we've had during the year. So by the time we get to the end of the year, we're going to fit together like a pair of old gloves." And so you wonder right now, you wonder, why is he able to throw that pass to Scotty Miller right before, right before the half, beating Kevin King and getting a free touchdown? Why does he do that? Colin, on about August 10th, I was in Tampa. I saw his first full padded practice against the defense that day. Scotty Miller made a catch almost exactly like that, diving in the end zone right over one of the Tampa corners. And so all I'm saying is that practice, 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 big moment. Don't be surprised at Brady.
So, you know, there's a lot going on in the NFL right now. And Saturday night, I'm sitting having a cup of coffee, just listening to music with my wife. And Goff and Stafford, my phone blows up. And I'm like, this is nuts. And it's interesting because the Rams gave up six picks to go get Goff and three to get rid of him, and they paid him, and for a year they'll have dead money. To me, this trade said McVay was done with him and that the owner has so much confidence in McVay, has such an utter belief in him that he could go to him and say, I know we've paid him. I know it's nine picks. I know, but do you believe in me? That's what it felt like to me. It was the owner saying, I believe in this kid. If Sean doesn't think we can win anymore with him, that's what it felt like to me. What did you make of the whole night?
That it was proof that Sean McVay totally lost faith in Jared Goff, and he wasn't going to win it back. Colin, in 2018, when you saw Jared Goff play football, he was like, you know, for people of a certain age, he was like Daryl LaMonica when he got to the Oakland Raiders. He became the Mad Bomber. He was just throwing these rainbows out of the sky, and you know, they were an incredibly deep striking team. Remember that Thursday night game on Fox in 2018? And it's Minnesota at the Rams.
Yeah.
Beautiful night at the Coliseum. And, you know, there was a couple of long throws that Jared Goff made that were just absolutely beautiful. Bombs that dropped out of the sky right in the hands of his receivers. And all I'm saying is that if you watched the Rams this year, I got to tell you, I didn't watch every snap. They do not pressure the defense deep
at all.
And that, in my opinion, I've never asked McVay about it. I don't know. I mean, I hopefully will find out about it in a few weeks. But I think this was all about he had lost the ability, or he had lost the confidence in Jared Goff's ability to be a game breaker.
So T.J. Lang, a former teammate of Aaron Rodgers, good buddy, says he's hell-bent on revenge. You know, and I said, you know, I understand being upset with Jordan Love. I kind of sided with Aaron Rodgers on this, in that Aaron Rodgers wakes up every morning, Peter, and the Seahawks are going out and get Jamal Adams, and the Rams are making deals with Jalen Ramsey, and the Saints are adding pieces, and Philadelphia is aggressive, and the Niners are aggressive. And, you know, the Packers are out there putting their money away into the 401k, paying off their house. They've got sort of this kind of conservative mindset. This is how we do business. I do get him looking around and saying, could somebody open the bank up a little bit here? I kind of side with Aaron a little bit. I know, you know, Aaron can be a little passive aggressive, but I get his frustration. 10 years ago, the league didn't make trades like this, Peter. This wasn't the NFL. Now everybody in the NFC is aggressive.
Well, here's the way I look at this, Colin. It's the ultimate irony in Aaron Rodgers' career that when the Green Bay Packers didn't need a quarterback, they took a quarterback in the 20s of the draft in 2005 and had him sit for 3 years. And then he took over for Brett Favre. And how ironic is it that when the Packers don't need a quarterback 15 years later, they pick a guy in the 20s again to sit behind Aaron Rodgers, probably for 3 years, and then we'll see. Now, I think that Jordan Love has a much bigger chance to be Green Bay's Jimmy Garoppolo than he does of being Green Bay's Aaron Rodgers. But let's face it. Aaron Rodgers is tilting at windmills right now the exact same way that Brett Favre did 15 years ago. But I'll just say this. The one way I agree with you is that, so remember, they score late in the third quarter to go behind Tampa 28-23.
Yep.
All right? And they decide we're going for two. So Aaron Rodgers, if this had been Tom Brady, he would have had in the end zone at that time Gronk, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, maybe Scotty Miller, maybe Cameron Brate to throw to. Aaron Rodgers throws a ball right in the hands of Equanimeous St. Brown, and he drops it.
Yeah.
So if you're Aaron Rodgers and you're thinking about that and looking at, you know, basically I'm going into war with a BB gun, you know, I'm sure he is frustrated.
Yeah.
But welcome to the Packers. This is the way they operate.
Finally, I noticed Andy Reid. I remember being on the air at the other place. This was about 12 years ago. And I said on the air, I said, Andy Reid's the first NFL coach I remember that third and two is a passing down. And I said, this is a real kind of tough guy city, Philadelphia. We like our football tough. And I'm like, he's doing this clever finesse stuff. And I said, I don't know how many of you people are watching, but it's fascinating. They're like doing college drawing up stuff I've never seen. That was the first time I really thought about Andy Reid and recognized him. When did he get on your radar and people start telling you, because you've been around longer than I have covering this league, this Andy Reid guy is different. He is a play designer. He's clever. When did you first notice him?
Well, I mean, I've known Andy since I went to do a story for Sports Illustrated in 1995. I spent a week in Green Bay, a week in the life of the Packers. He was on that staff, and I got to know him briefly that week. And I just remember Andy Reid wanted to be a sports writer when he went to Brigham Young. You know, he even wrote a column in that. So, like, he looked at me like, man, I'd love to have your job. But where I really started to notice him, and again, this is long past when he's winning big games. I thought that my opinion changed on him radically when he traded Donovan McNabb in the division a decade or so ago. Mm-hmm. And it changed radically because he said, hey, listen, I know a lot of you don't think this makes any sense, but I am going to do something that, even though it might not make sense to you, I have determined that, in my opinion, I'm not winning a Super Bowl with Donovan McNabb. I'm trading him. What happens in 2018, January of 2018, I'm not winning a Super Bowl with Alex Smith. We're trading him, and I'm giving the job to the kid. So I like someone who says, I know this goes against the grain, but I believe in it. And this is what Sean McVay is doing right now. Go ahead. Half the world's going to rip the crap out of me, and rightfully so, could be. But I trust Matthew Stafford to take us farther in 2021 than we went in 2020.
NBCSports.com, Peter King. Good stuff. Good insight. Been covering this league a long time in detail. Read his stuff. Peter, appreciate it. Good stories today.
Thanks, Colin.
All right, good stuff. Eric Dickerson joins us today. Trent Dilfer's been in the Super Bowl. Danny Amendola's been in a couple. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Aaron Rodgers put together an MVP campaign this year.
No question. No question.
But he was stopped short of the Super Bowl.
Very disappointing.
Yet again, stirred up a little controversy after the loss, saying his future was a little uncertain.
Muddy. Yeah.
And former teammate TJ Lang believes Rodgers is still upset with the team and wants to make them pay.
I think he's going to be hell-bent on some revenge, man. Mm-hmm. He was quietly pissed when they took Jordan Love a year ago. I think he's going to make them pay, man. I think he's going to want some sort of new deal where they guarantee a couple more years for him, security-wise, being in Green Bay. I don't think he wants to go anywhere, but I think he's going to hold their feet to the fire and say, hey, you're going to keep me around. A, you're going to pay me, and B, you're going to bring in some players that I want to play with where we can take this next leap.
I side with Aaron Rodgers on this.
2-2. I do too. It has nothing to do with the Deshaun Watson situation, but again, there's just outliers where it's like we've watched the career, we've watched how amazing they've been, and then we've watched all the things happen that are completely outside of their control. And it's not that the Packers are a dysfunctional organization. They are most certainly not. But I hated that Jordan Love pick. Hated it. Nothing against Jordan Love, but it was the wrong pick for this organization. Love the Packers last year. They get to the NFC Championship game. What happens? They get rolled, right? What do? You go draft a quarterback in the first round? You trade up? What are you doing?
If you look at LeBron's success, he's always had a Robin. Like, when he got to L.A., he basically said, get all these young guys out of here, and Rich Paul gets him Anthony Davis. And the reality is, if LeBron was Aaron Rodgers, they would say, you know, we're just going to stay with these young guys. We can win a lot of games with these young guys, which with LeBron you could. But the reason LeBron always seems eternally happy is because he goes to Miami, and they get him Bosch, and then Ray Allen, and then Battier. And so, when you don't get LeBron stuff, he's like, okay, I'm done now at Cleveland. I've done the first time.
Well, LeBron has had And the first time around in Cleveland, which is why he left, because he was essentially stuck there for those first 7 years. So he had to deal with their dysfunction and their inability to bring players there. Well, once he had control, then it's like, no, I'm going to stay here only if you do this.
That's right.
And it's because LeBron James doesn't want to just win games. He wants to win championships.
See, but LeBron can sign one-year contracts and not worry as much about health. In football, Aaron's had a couple injuries. You can't sign a one-year deal.
Right.
But in a perfect world, what Aaron's basically saying is, I'm looking around at all these stars in America. LeBron gets weapons, and Brady gets weapons, and he's looking around. Russell Wilson gets weapons, and Breeze gets weapons. I don't have any. I got a great running back and a great receiver. I mean, let's not pretend Green Bay didn't have talent. But,
no, they do. Of course they do.
But I get his angst.
You need to go all in.
Yes.
Go all in. It's why, you know, everyone's kind of banging on the Saints right now, like they're in a bad situation moving forward. I don't hate what the Saints did at all. You're running it back with Drew Brees. Go all in. Go all in. Yeah. You have the guy. You have to try in these moments. Now, you might suffer for a few years, but do you have credibility with your fans? Have you won before?
Yeah. Now, I will say this, and I said this 2 weeks ago on the show. I don't think there's a better place for him than Green Bay.
No.
Because I think Green Bay gives you... He's had two offensive coaches and great offensive line play. So I don't want to. There's no pity party here.
No, they're in the NFC Championship game 2 years in a row.
Yeah. There's no pity party for him. But I do. If these are the complaints, the Jordan Love pick, lack of weapons, let's go all in, free agency. If these are the complaints, I totally defend him. But I don't want to make it out to be it's the Houston situation.
No.
This is well
there's
run.
There's no comparison.
Yeah, there's a
no
well run team.
As far as that goes. It's just that we're both on the side of the players in the situation. Rodgers needs something else. Like he needs one more thing. And there comes a time where you have to be aggressive. Yeah. You just have to. You have to step aside outside of your
comfort zone
and do something different. So a report surfaced this week, speaking of Deshaun Watson, that his agents informed the Texans that Deshaun would not participate in any offseason activities if he remains with the team, but his agent strongly denied those rumors. He tweeted, on behalf of David Mulugeta, who I speak to often, I can confirm this information is made up, much of the other breaking news I've heard attributed sources close to Watson. So he's obviously being sarcastic.
So the agent's basically saying...
This is not true.
That
it's not true that Watson's not going to show up at any offseason activities as of yet. Like, there's obviously things are starting to snowball now because he has requested a trade, and we haven't seen any movement really other than rumors as far as how that's going. And because the Texans are now coming out so strongly and saying they have no interest in trading him, we're all assuming that this is going directly full steam ahead towards a very dramatic, ugly situation. So... He's denying that report that he has any plans of not showing up as of yet. Obviously, there's fines and things like that involved with not coming to some certain off-season training.
Yeah.
But we're not there yet. I really hope this does not get ugly.
Well, it's already kind of ugly.
It's ugly. I don't hope it doesn't get any uglier than it already is.
Right.
Finally, Bradley Beal has been playing incredibly well, but the Wizards are still at the bottom of the Eastern Conference. It would be understandable if he wanted to get out of Washington, but according to The Athletic, Beal has expressed so far that he is committed to the Wizards, does not want to be traded. He's also reportedly frustrated and confused with those who criticize him for choosing to stay. They are 4-12, last in the East. He recently became the first player in NBA history to lose 10 straight 40-point games. He's averaging 34.9 points, first in the NBA, 5.1 rebounds, and 4.7 assists per game.
My wife said something the other day. She said, some people are talented and not aspirational. Some people are aspirational without any talent. It's rare to be LeBron, Kobe, Jordan, Brady. Bradley Beal's really talented. Is it possible? Making good money, playing hoops, you like the city, that's enough.
Yeah. I mean, we do see this with players sometimes.
Yes. They're just like...
We want something
they
for
don't.
Them. They don't.
And that's what Ann said. She goes, Colin, not everybody sees the world like... Some people just want to do what they want to do, and they live in their town, and they're happy, and they have a bagel place next, and they've got their parents live there. Not everybody...
They make a nice living.
I mean, you're from Miami. You're the only person I know out of Miami media in sports... Because Miami's an easy place to fall in love to and fall
I mean,
in love
I would go
with.
Back even to my hometown. Like, I'm from Pittsburgh. Not a lot of people leave Pittsburgh.
in Miami, but you have left Miami multiple times, but most people you work with in the media, and many are super talented, they're just happy there.
Yeah.
And they don't need to go national. Happy.
You have a consistent job, you're comfortable, you're doing what you love. Good weather, no state tax, which I very much understand. You can't force your aspirations onto other people.
Right.
I've tried many, 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 many times.
You can't.
Fail every time. You're just wired that way or you're not. And that doesn't mean that Bradley Beal's not great. He is. But maybe he just doesn't want to do it the way that LeBron's done it.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to do it the way that Tom Brady is doing it. He doesn't want to
like, I get Damian Lillard staying in Portland because Portland wins.
Right.
Like, Washington's awful. I don't get it.
I don't get it either, but I'm starting to just believe that's what the situation
is. That's right.
Now, here's what I'll say. You can't really technically be both. Like, you can say you're the greatest local broadcaster in the history of broadcasters, therefore you're the greatest broadcaster.
Yeah.
Like, but you never took that next step up.
That's right.
So maybe you are great for what it is that you do. But, like, you can't put yourself in those other categories of guys who are willing to move, who are willing to take those chances to be criticized and whatever, KD,
yeah.
LeBron, and they win championships, because how your business works also matters. And the way that the business of the NBA works right now is you have to be with another star in order to win.
Yeah.
So you can't have it both ways.
That's right. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
He's a Hall of Famer who played for over a decade, a college football Hall of Famer, a pro football Hall of Famer. Retired the number two all-time leading rusher. Got a book coming out. Eric Dickerson is now joining us live. Made the playoffs in each of his first five seasons. You better savor him, because he didn't make them a lot after that. I'll tell you that. When you were making all those playoffs, you probably thought it was going to be forever, right?
Well, you know how tough it is to make it. You think it's going to be forever, but boy, let me tell you something. It's hard to make it to the playoffs, and never made it to a Super Bowl, That's how it is sometimes when you don't have all the pieces when you play pro football.
Yeah. So Goff, Jared Goff, you and I both liked him. And something happened this year. November 29th, they lose at home. He's bad against Nick Mullins and the Niners. Goff gets criticized publicly by Sean McVay, and it never felt after that, Eric, McVay was in on him. Are you surprised they traded him?
No, I'm not. Well, you know what? I am surprised they traded him because of the contract. I didn't think anyone would take that contract and take that on. So that was one of my surprises. I just felt like that, you know, he wasn't playing well. And it's you know, that's just how football goes. I mean, I got to say, I want to thank Brad Holmes from Detroit. He was, worked for the Rams for helping us out, because no one would have helped us out with that deal. Look, football is not about how you're playing. It's not what about you did for me last year, the Super Bowl last year. It's about right now. And, Goff, Jared has struggled for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And badly. I mean, and the quarterback position is very, very important. It's not like being a running back or a receiver, but this guy touches the ball every time. The center, then him. He's going to have the ball. He makes the calls. And I think one thing, when I saw one game, I think it was the Seattle game.
Yeah.
Where it was third and one or fourth and one or something. The third thing is third and four. And he slid instead of going for it. And I said, this ain't going to work. And I think at that point, I just saw it kind of going downhill, with him. And I ain't gonna say the coaching staff, because I don't know what the coaches thought about it. But you could just see, I mean, because as a football team, your defensive unit, they get frustrated. They may not say it to you, but they get frustrated, and same thing with offense. If offense is scoring, the defense isn't holding anyone, you get frustrated. And I know that the defense had to be frustrated with the offense.
Matt Stafford, the new Rams quarterback, do you think they're a better football team?
Most definitely. Most definitely. I think they are. I mean, people talk about, Matt Stafford, he got hurt but he played 136 games straight. And even when he broke his back or fractured a bone in his back in 2019, he still wanted to play. But, the franchise wouldn't let him play. And look, he's in Detroit. You got to keep that in mind. I mean, Detroit is not the place that you want to start your NFL career. But it's not his fault he started there. I mean, you think about Calvin Johnson. He was like, I think he played 8 or 9 years and like, hey, I just can't do it anymore. Barry Sanders. I mean, it just shows a history in Detroit. I really think Matt Stafford is probably one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL. But he hasn't had a team around him to really show what he can really do. I mean, he's like an offensive coordinator on the field. I think that Sean McVay can open up his whole playbook. He doesn't have to trim it down. You know, he can read defenses very quickly because he's been doing it for 12 years. So most definitely it's an upgrade. I'm glad we got him. And I think when it's all said and done, I'll go on record saying I think that he will win us the Super Bowl here in Los Angeles.
How about that? You know, it's interesting. When you look at the season for Tampa and Tom Brady, I mean, God, you got Arians calling him out. You got no preseason. You got he struggled initially to get kind of the offense humming. They got blown out by the Saints. He threw three picks against the Packers, and here they are. Are you a little surprised? Kansas City we knew would be here. We felt they'd be here. Are you a little surprised Tampa's here?
I got to say I'm very surprised, you know, but it's a testament to Tom Brady. I mean, it really is because I think he elevates everyone's play. I think when the guys see him or hear his name, I think an organization like, well, we're really trying to win. You know, they're bringing Tom Brady in. We're really trying to win football games. We're really trying to get to the Super Bowl. And you can just see it. I mean, they've gotten him some weapons, and you got to have weapons. I mean, they've got Mike Evans. They've got Chris Godwin. And they've got Scotty Miller. They've got Leonard Fournette. They've got him some weapons. And that's important. I don't care how great you are. You know, and they got Antonio Brown. Forget about Antonio Brown. If you don't have the weapons around you, you can't perform. I mean, and that's just the fact. That's a prime example when I talk about Matt Stafford. Don't have the weapons. I mean, Tom Brady does have the weapons. And new offense for Tom Brady, new city, you know, new coaching staff. Everything's new, but that just goes to show how great he really is. I still say he's an old man for football. I think he knows it too. But, hey, the old man is doing it.
Yeah. By the way, Aaron Rodgers, one of his teammates came out yesterday on radio in Green Bay and said, oh, I think he's hell-bent on revenge. He didn't like that Jordan Love pick. And players a lot of times say nice stuff publicly, but then privately, when you were a player, were you willing to be outspoken publicly? You may tell your friend something, but Aaron's gone out and taken shots at his team. Were you able to do that? Were you willing to do that?
Most definitely. Yeah, I was that guy. I mean, if I felt something, even by myself, if I felt it, even about me, I was that guy. I called myself out. I feel like that you are who you are. You're not a coward. You're not hiding behind someone else's words. You're not hiding behind the computer. You know, I'm with Aaron on that. I feel like that Green Bay has never really given him what he needs, really given him what he needs. You know, I mean, they go out and draft a quarterback from Utah State. Nothing against Jordan Love, but come on, man, this is Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you don't do that. Why would you do it? It's a slap in his face. Give me some receivers. Give me more than one receiver. Give me some offensive linemen. I mean, give him something to really work with. Like, I'm sure when he looks at Mahomes over in Kansas City, he's like, man, if I had all those weapons, or even Tom Brady in Tampa, if I had that, imagine what I can do. Because every player says that, Colin, I'm telling you. I've said it on the sidelines, especially when I was in Indy at the end. I'm looking over there, I'm like, man, look at those holes. If I had those holes, what could I do with those holes? I mean, you really do. And every player says it. I mean, and I'm sure Aaron Rodgers is like, man, if I had them kind of receivers, I mean, with that many weapons, you know what I could do with that? I mean, but I'll say this much. We even made a play for him. We called
Rams
the Green Bay Packers. Yeah, see if they wanted to trade him. They were like, no, we didn't want to trade him.
Yeah, no, the Rams have gotten really aggressive. How would you have fit in Green Bay? You think you've been a good Packer? What if you'd have gone to Green Bay?
You know, at the end, they tried to make a trade. They tried to make a trade for me to Green Bay.
Wow.
You know, my I couldn't pass the physical at that time. My neck was done. I was done. You know, I was done. But, you know, I'm like this here. I don't care where I'm at. If you give me what I need, I think any player feels like that. If you give me something to work with, I mean, I can work with it. I mean, especially when I was younger, for sure, I can work with it. I mean, would I have lived in Green Bay? I'm sorry. No, I would not live in Green Bay. I'd come back to Southern California. I'm sorry. But I played in Green Bay, but I would live here.
Fair enough. All right. Tell your agent to send me your book. I want to read it. Good seeing you, buddy.
Hey, good seeing you, Colin.
Eric Dickerson. He's honest about it. He was traded three or four times. When there weren't a lot of trades. In fact, let me look it up here. I think Eric was traded three or four times. Only player in the modern era to be traded four times. So he was outspoken. He'd tell you he didn't like something. And five great years with the Rams, though. Made playoffs in each of his first 5 years. He got to an NFC championship game one time. Never to the Super Bowl. Guys, we're all aging. Want to feel young, leaner muscle? Take a supplement. I do every day. It's called M-Drive. Backed by science, powerful ingredients, proteins, Go to mdriveformen.com today. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee as well. Nothing to lose. mdriveformen.com today. Final hour coming up. Danny Amendola is calling out the Patriots. He's around the corner.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.